Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello, my name's Nick.
Hello, I'm Woogie.
We are the Mouth of Manliness. This is a podcast all about mental health, but it's not just mental health. It's kind of about people's lives and about how they cope and how they manage in the world.
Yeah, and digging into the stories that make them who they are.
Yeah, so it's real life stories where we talk about things that people have been through and how they've managed and how they've coped and how they've come out the other side. So sometimes it's just me and Woogie here, but more often than not, we're talking to guests, sometimes more well-known guests, but more often than anything, it's just normal people who have been through interesting situations.
Yeah, and they've all got a lovely story to tell.
Yeah, so Mouth of Manliness, we are about mental health, but we're more about people and stories.
So, welcome to the Mouth.
The Mouth of Manliness. Welcome to the Mouth of Manliness. Welcome back, everyone. Season three, exciting times. I'm Nick, as you know. I'm sat here with Mr. Warren Borg, or Woogie, as I always get it wrong.
I love his pronunciation of that, it's amazing. Yeah.
And we are joined, rather excitingly, by Taylor and Lauren from New Best Friends.
Yeah.
Thank you for having us, guys.
Absolute pleasure.
I'm so pleased to have you guys on. It's really, for one thing, it's really lovely to have, we do it from occasion, have women on the podcast. It's called Mouth and Manliness, right? That kind of idea was always more about me than the guests. It was me feeling inadequate as a man, I think, more than anything.
Thank you so much for having us. Guys, I'm just so sorry to interrupt. I don't want to wreck the flow of the podcast, but it might have been a wee mistake. Just the band is Brand New Friend.
Brand New Friend. Just in case
you wanted to one more time. I'm not sure if you want to or not. You can edit this out if you wish. It's all good. People do it all the time.
Get the name right.
Keep it natural. Yeah.
Sorry, and I'll tell you what, I've been listening to stuff recently as well, which is even more embarrassing. But
don't worry at all.
Welcome.
Don't worry.
Welcome. So where are you guys?
Well, we are currently zooming from my room in our family home in the north coast of Northern Ireland.
Beautiful.
Lovely.
Up near Scotland somewhere, basically.
Amazing. How's the lockdown been for you guys? How's it all going? Are you finding it?
I think we're coping well. We're very lucky. Lauren, myself and our brother Logan, who's also in the band, all live in the same house.
Fantastic.
It makes songwriting fantastic. We've got that luxury that a lot of other bands don't have. Yeah. About having, three-fifths of the band together. We've been able to write an awful lot together, bounce ideas off each other, and keep some sort of semblance of our sanity.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Thing, you're so lucky. But being able to have that dynamic during all this is quite something, man. If you can use the energy in the right way, do you know what I mean? And you guys clearly have energy listening to your EP recently. It's great.
It feels like it was a while ago now.
Yeah, of course.
But you're 100% right. It's given you a chance to the focus and time and space that you wouldn't have otherwise had. Yeah. So it, obviously it's an insane time, but it's something that we, in a weird way, are quite grateful for as well, I think.
Yeah, yeah, I don't think it's... like, I haven't really minded. I've been really productive. I've been, like, building pedal boards and painting pictures. And it's been all right. So, did you guys play Reading when it was on last?
Not the last time. I think it was the year before. It all kind of muddles together in my head. I can't even quite remember, but... yeah, we absolutely loved it. What an experience.
Oh, yeah,
I've got a feeling I saw you. I've got a feeling I saw you without even knowing it. Because I was kind of watching a few bit of your live things on YouTube, and I was like, I'm sure I've seen them. I'm sure I have. Because you're really energetic, so you kind of remember that. The best thing about seeing a band is when they look like they care and they want to be there. And it just comes across. It really does, and I'm sure I saw you. I really, like, I go every year, so I'm pretty sure I saw you.
Oh, cool. You might have seen us walking, might have walked past us making some noise, you never know. But
yeah.
Thank you so much. We always, like, it comes naturally to us to kind of look like that. We do get comments of people saying, you know, you guys just look like you're having so much fun. And it sounds kind of a bit cheesy or cliched, but genuinely being on stage is our favourite thing, so... we couldn't even, like, try and be, like, that kind of cool, laid-back band that just kind of stands there. Like, we probably wish we could be a bit more cool, but instead we're just kind of, like, vibing, loving it.
I think a large part of it is we're five people who, you know, we appreciate every second because, you know, even speaking from personal experience, I never thought I would be in a band. I never thought I would be talented enough to even play, like, a few chords in the guitar, ever. So, just, you know, I remember that feeling of going to watch bands and thinking, my God, that's madness in our house, sorry. Arsenal just scored. I think Arsenal just scored. Yeah. We're all Arsenal supporters in our house. Did we just score? Yeah.
Aubameyang
just scored. That keeps us in Europe. I'm sorry. That's an amazing moment. Sorry.
Amazing. We're keeping that
you
in.
You just witnessed something very special in our house. Oh my gosh, yeah, that's our parents as well going mad. We're all Arsenal supporters. So we remember what it's like to watch bands and dream of doing it. So now every time we get to actually do it, it still blows our minds. Yeah. It's still like, wow, do we actually get to do it? That's kind of how we feel. So
it totally comes across. It really does. And I just find that kind of energy and excitement like hard to resist. You know, I remember I've seen Oasis quite a few times, and like so many times I've watched them and then just walked off thinking they don't look interested. They really like, I know that's the thing, but it just kind of pissed me off.
Yeah, when I was like 19, I think. I must have been. I can't remember. How old was I? Well, I weren't that old. I was sort of in my late teens, but at the drive-in headlined at the Electric Ballroom. It was year 2000, so I don't know. My maths is shit, just to clarify. So, but I remember seeing them and being absolutely enamoured by the way at the drive-in took the stage and just absolutely went fucking crazy, right? So, yeah, and it's...
did you guys play with them, right?
We supported them in Dublin, Vicar Street.
Yeah, we did. We supported them.
That was amazing.
Fucking unreal.
They're great.
It was crazy experience. Like,
they were nice people too. Like, we don't always hang out with the bands we play with. We didn't really hang out with them, but we kind of saw them. Like, I got in a lift with them, and it was just their band and then me in the corner. but they were really lovely. It was cool.
Yeah, man. They used to have, like, I mean, they're, as they've gotten older, I guess it might be harder for them to do the acrobatics and shit they used to.
No,
but,
no, they still do it. I see them in
the roundhouse a few years ago. Yeah, man. But he does anyway, like Cedric.
So when did you, like, when did you get to a point where you could earn money doing music?
Have we got to that point,
Taylor? No, really.
It's the same
thing.
Well,
I mean... within reason.
It's been
a couple of years. The band have been going since... 2015, 2016 is when it really started. It really just started off Taylor in his room, writing songs, recording them with a little cheap USB mic.
Which I still have.
Putting them on SoundCloud. Yeah. And it was, we love those times. Like, we would like never change them, you know, but it has been really interesting to see how things have progressed over the years and to be able to have played some of the shows we played and release an album on a label has just been like a real
dream, a good way to explain it.
So
but in terms of money, like we've played, you know, individual shows that have paid really well, but I mean, we have never ever been motivated by it. So we still we'd play, you know, in our granny's kitchen for nothing.
That's,
do you know what I mean?
So important as well.
It all goes back in.
Yeah, like any money that we've ever earned from Brand New Friend has went straight back into the band fund.
Yeah,
you know, we've maybe taken the odd wee thing if when things have been really rolling for us. You know, it's nice to have a little bit extra in the back pocket, but at the same time, like as recently as like I think was it last year or 2 years ago, I tell this story all the time. Went to a garage, bought a bounty, and had my card declined. So like we feel like we're perpetually skint. Yeah. But yeah, it's cool. Like we don't mind too much. We don't mind.
Yeah, man. I've been in music since I was about 18, and I have exactly the same. Like, I mean, even now, like things are hard, right? It's crazy.
I guess I was kind of thinking, like, have you ever had to get jobs or anything? Like,
oh yeah. Like I'm working two jobs at the minute to keep me
really?
Going. Yeah, that's why I'm dressed like this. I work a normal boring job, and then at the minute I've got a quite an exciting kind of wee side job as well, with the BBC, but that I love.
Nice.
And that's great. But you know, every spare second that we get is all about the band. The band is our dream, and our we want to live off it. Completely.
And the boys in our band, Aaron and Luke, they both work for the NHS as well.
Yeah.
So
oh,
right.
It's been a crazy year for them. But proud of them to be able to juggle and everything and balance everything as well as they do.
And Lauren's a tutor, so if you ever need to learn about Shakespeare, she's your woman.
Fantastic.
Oh, really?
It's cool.
Yeah, a bit nerdy. Went to uni and did all of the nerdy university stuff, did an English degree and a master's, so that's my kind of side gig.
Yeah, but Logan's still at school, though. Logan's a baby, so he's literally doing nothing all day. He's just playing FIFA.
Just not
having to revise. Because he's just getting all his results handed to him now. So
yeah, man. So how did Extra Mile find you guys?
Oh,
how did
that happen? I just remember the day that our management told us that Charlie had been in touch with them. But there is a... there is a story about how I came across our music, but I can't quite remember it off the top of my head.
I don't really know. We went to record a load of demos because Luke hadn't long joined our band, our drummer Luke, and we just went into a room and we did like something ridiculous, like 15 songs in 3 days, just bang them out just for the crack, to show people what we could potentially do in the future. And somehow Charlie Kaplow, the head of the label, found these demos and said, this would make a great album.
Yeah.
And we were just like, okay. And that became the album. But I don't know. I think that was just it. I think he just found us somehow and just said, there's something in it. And we've been very lucky, I guess.
Yeah, man. It sounds amazing, man. Your music's great. I love it. It's like fast tempo. Like it's just got all the energy that you need. And you can see that you're good guys as well. It's nice, you know. Deserving,
oh,
I'm trying to say. Nice one.
It's funny, I was listening to one of, is it Plastic Flowers?
Yeah.
And I could hear Springsteen.
Yeah, nice.
I could hear the Boss in that. I really could.
Yeah, big.
And Springsteen's amazing.
That's cool. Yeah, and I've never heard that before.
Yeah, I can actually hear it though. Yeah, it wasn't necessarily like a conscious thing, but I suppose... yeah, I can hear that. I think the thing is that between the first album and the EP, we did start to listen to a lot more sort of different genres, and our main influence, we kind of discovered The National within that time. Our drummer, Luke, had been listening to them for so long, and then he kind of was like, guys, we really need to get into The National, and we all kind of became a bit obsessed.
Yeah.
And I think that influence definitely was like one that was quite significant for us.
Yeah.
But yeah, Springsteen.
What's your favourite album? What's your favourite National album?
Trouble Will Find Me. I love Trouble Will Find Me.
I really love their most recent one. I love I Am Easy to Find because of all the sort of female vocals and that kind of narrative of kind of a the progression of like a woman through her life. I find that really cool and really different from a band like The National.
Yes,
so cool. That might be my favourite, even though it's their newest one.
What about you guys? What's your favourite National album?
Oh, it's either The Boxer or High Violet, and I am absolutely obsessed with both albums.
Yeah.
Like, I can't get enough of them. I listen to them all the time. And although I've listened to all their other stuff, I don't go back to them much. But those two albums,
The Boxer is what I
just think they're amazing. Yeah. I love his voice. Yeah. It's kind of really it's like they don't put much on his vocal. It's kind of really intimate. Mm. But the songs are huge.
Yeah, they're massive, man. It sounds unreal. Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm glad to say
our
that.
Our drummer Luke has a tattoo of the lyrics of Vanderlaan on his arm. He loves them.
It's funny, they're a band that them and Ryan Adams. I really like Ryan Adams, and so often I've said to people, "You've got to listen to this," and they never like them.
Really?
Yeah. I've never met anyone else who likes The National.
Oh, National, great band.
Here, you can now add our band to that list.
Exactly.
You'll play us the people and be like, don't like it.
Oh, no. Amazing.
Absolutely.
Oh, it's so cool. So you've done some really, you've done some amazing gigs and everything, haven't you? You've really done some cool things. It's really,
thank you so much.
It's all kind of, it's all really happened for you.
Hmm.
Yeah, we take it all as it comes, and it's amazing to look back and think of some of the really cool things. It's been a wild journey, and we just love it. We just love every element of being in a band. I think, even the annoying bits, like loading the gear and doing the sound check and all that stuff. Like we love every part of it. I think
it's that thing, isn't it? So I was sort of saying to some of our other guests recently is like. The intrinsic nature of being in a gang and going on tour, and when you roll into like a service station and you've all got your own weird little internal conversation, right, and you walk in and everyone's like, what the fuck are these guys doing? And it's like, do you know what I mean? And but then you get back in your weird little van and then you go to another venue, and like I miss that so much, like just rocking it into somewhere and just smashing it to pieces, you know. It's like making people know who you are. It's like I miss that massively. I mean, you guys are so lucky that you can sort of still write together and stuff to a degree. You know, it's amazing. And it's like you must be missing live ridiculously, obviously. But any plans? Yeah. Any plans now that we're soon to be arrived? Do you know?
Well, we can't say too much about it, but we are trying to put some stuff together because we're just itching to get back on a stage, so we're sort of putting a bit of a plan together for the last half of the year. It has been tough because I suppose everything's been so up in the air, but it has been hard to make plans. But now that there seems to be a little bit of a kind of roadmap laid out, that we're just itching to get back to it. We can't wait.
I mean, if Reading and Leeds want to put us on, we'll definitely we'll definitely go do that. I think for us the big thing is Your Seatbelts for Airplanes was the first album that came out when 2018
now.
2018. So you know, and A Cure for Living was last year, and that was great. But it's time for a new era now. It's time for something new, and we've got a lot of the songs written, but it's just getting over the line and getting the studios back up and running again, we can go somewhere and do it. Because I don't really want to go back on the road until we have a new record ready to go.
Yeah, cool.
So that's kind of our focus as well. So that's what we're really
the thing is though. Like, people are gonna need music, and they're gonna need like Brand New Friends live show. Do you know what I mean? They're gonna need that in their life for real. That energy is there, and it's what people want. It's like the Reading tickets just came available.
Yeah,
again,
we
yesterday,
got Reading
right?
tickets yesterday.
So I just was like, do you know what? Like,
brilliant.
I could just get involved. I mean, there's a few projects, so we might end up playing it or whatever, but even if not, doesn't matter. Let's just make sure we're there at a festival at some point this year. Because it's so missed. Like, even the horrible pissy beer smell of a venue. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
it's sticky floors, and you walk in and you're like peeling yourself off it.
Yeah, the shit that goes all over your flight cases and all that stuff that's now festering in a garage somewhere. It will get out there again. Do you know what I mean? For more beer and Guinness spilt all over it. This is the way. Like.
Big time.
You know.
Big time.
A Cure for Living is an amazing title, by the way.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
I like to take credit for it, but then I can't really take credit for it because it like was inspired by a book I was reading. So I really think that the author, Rebecca Solnit, would probably have something to say about that. But just a phrase I came across in a book and I thought that it yeah, we all really loved it.
What was the book?
Yeah.
Put me on the spot, Mike, so I'm trying to think, what was it called? It might be on my bookshelf behind me.
Yeah,
I
have it here.
Interested in that.
Let's see.
It's like, if you could find this one, it'd be really cool.
A Cure for Wellness. It kind of, I don't know, it kind of, it ring the bell with me, you know. It's almost like music is a bit of a cure for a living.
Yeah,
man. Yeah, that's what I take from it for sure. Yeah,
the book's called A Field Guide to Getting Lost by Rebecca Solnit. So, works quite well, I think, getting lost in something.
That is interesting. So, we recently had Oxygen Thief on. You know, Barry Dolan. And, and he was, obviously, like, it's a mental health podcast, right? And he was saying how fantastic Extra Mile are, as in, like, they kind of look out for each other, like they kind of look after you a bit, and how they kind of take mental health really seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was really, really good. Sorry.
It's essential.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, I see where Barry's coming from in that, and it does seem to be a very kind of tight-knit label. It's a small label, so, you know, you know everyone that's part of the team, and they always do their best to check in every so often, which we always appreciate.
Yeah, Anthea, Danny and Charlie are kind of like the trio at the top of the tree for Extra Mile, and our whole time being with the label, they've always wanted to look after us as people as well as a band. So, you know, they've got your best interests at heart, like, away from the music, always. I can't thank them enough for what they've done for us, you know. A wee band from across the water, and they really do care about us, I think, which is brilliant.
So, what are your own experiences with mental health? Have you had any, like, you know, dips, ups and downs along the way?
Well, I think everyone, of course, everyone has, you know, that's just the nature of being a human being, a person who's alive. I mean, I think being a touring musician is challenging in itself, and being out there on the road, whilst we always love it and have a ball and we're all very close as a band, we've been on tours that have been as long as like a full month straight on the road, and I think sometimes that can wear you down, you know, that can get to you after a while. I think people benefit from sort of having their own space, so that sometimes comes into it. But do you think, Tails?
Yeah, well, I was gonna say, like, we went on a month-long tour with Sean McGowan. Do you guys know Sean, singer-songwriter from Southampton?
Yeah, I'm aware of him. Yeah,
he's brilliant. Sean's fantastic. He's such a songwriter, but he's also a brilliant person. And when we were on that tour, you know, there was different times when certain people are up and certain people are down, and he had this amazing radar for just being able to pick up on it straight away. And there was mornings and evenings on that tour when I didn't have to say a word to Sean, and he would come over and he'd be like, "You missing home?" And I was like, "I am a wee bit." And he just put his arm around me, and he wouldn't need to say much, but he just put his arm around me, and he'd be like, you're fine, you know, you're fine, you know, we're all in this boat together. So there's definitely times when people are up and down on the roads, and as much as anything else, the people you surround yourself with are the ones who will get you through it, I think.
Yeah,
and that's why being in a family band is such a massive thing for us, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was kind of curious about that, because that could... in many bands that does that's we talked about Oasis. Embrace, yeah. Danny McNamara from Embrace and or Black Crowes.
Yeah.
And like they kind of bang heads. And they're not always that supportive. Like, I think about my own siblings. I've got one sister I'm really close to, another sister who just doesn't get me. She don't get me at all. You know, she's we're miles apart, and she doesn't. She's got no understanding about it. It's like what, you know, mental health problems are a weakness, right? And she would see it that way. So I was wondering about how that kind of dynamic works with you guys, because you both seem to kind of click.
Yeah.
You both seem to have a nice thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's obviously, being siblings, there's times where one of us might want to, you know.
Yeah.
Like, slap each other in the face. But no, I mean, nothing major. And we are very lucky that the three of us do get on really well. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Taylor, but I do think that we tend to be on the same page a lot of the time. And when we're not, we're able to work it out fairly quickly. So we were brought up that way. You know, our parents brought us up with a very sort of strong sense of family and a very, very sort of tight-knit family, very close. So that has only kind of benefited us. And I also think that if it wasn't for Taylor, I wouldn't have really had the confidence to get into music. So I have a lot to sort of thank Taylor for in that respect, because in school I was very shy, very anxious person, didn't have a lot of confidence sort of as a teenager, and when Taylor was just kind of toying around with the idea of Brand New Friend being a band and not just being kind of a solo project, he was the one that kind of convinced me to put myself out there and go and play shows and record demos with him. And I don't think that if it wasn't my brother, if it wasn't Taylor who kind of gave me that nudge, who gave me that confidence, I probably would have just stayed as like a bedroom musician and kind of doing things at home, because I wouldn't have had the wouldn't have had the confidence to do it. So yeah.
Can I just say, Lauren's being goosebumps. Really lovely. And,
that's so lovely.
That is a lovely thing.
She's being really unfair to herself, because Lauren is like a trained musician. So Lauren has like got her grades in singing right up to grade 8.
Yeah.
So Lauren can do all the Midnight Sonatas in the world. Is there vocals in that song?
Not quite.
There's no vocals in that song. she could do...
Nice
she
one,
could
man.
Do all the... I was close. I'm trying to think of a Pavarotti. Lauren can do all that, no bother. And I obviously can't. I'm a terrible singer. So I the whole thing with Brand New Friend and music now for me, if Lauren's not doing it, I can't do it. So I was never going to start a band without her. She is the talent, 1,000,000,000%. So she is the
talent. You guys, it's making me melt. So lovely. It's just, so lovely.
No, wait to see, we'll start talking about Logan. Logan's a wee dick. Only joking.
Oh, shit.
Only joking, Logan.
I think it's really interesting, the band dynamic, though, right? Because I think, I was speaking to a friend of mine recently that I make music with. We were in a hardcore sort of shouty punk band called Bricks. And we self-released an album like a few years ago. And this guy Lee, who I make music with, he's from Blackpool. He's quite burly and sort of, he's a northerner, I'm a southerner. We sort of like, but we met a long, long time ago in a very mutual play, and it's lovely, you know, like we're there. But he's the guy I get in a room with that used to be in it, and I'd play and he'd go, "No, that's shit, you can do better." And I'd be like, "Cool. Yep. All right, and then you can do better." And it's that confidence and that bigging each other up is like so massively important in that dynamic, right? And we've then gone on to make another. We've got an album pending for a band called Broken Bricks, because our bass player left, and then we got a singer and a pop band, and it was beautiful. So Nick played bass for Bricks initially as well, right? And then that leads to how we become friends more so, is because then I started coming around here and just sodding about making tunes, right? So we've been making this project that we've got at the moment. And it's like, but every time it's really important to have like, I feel it's really important to have like someone that is you're so centered and trusting of, that you, when, especially like if you're writing lyrics and stuff, right? And you're literally pouring, like, I mean, I write very directly. So it's like all of my anxieties, all of my like issues. And like the record I wrote with Bricks, it was essentially about splitting up with the mother of my children, right? And it's a bit visceral at times, and I might have deleted some of it, but the fact is that there's someone else that gives the confidence to put something out into the world, right? And it's massively important, I think.
It's just that kind of trust, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, I like, from playing in bands for years, like, no one ever got... Like, I've been in so many bands and, like, been recording things, and no one ever says, "That was really good." You know, like, everyone just goes... Because if they say, "That was good," then it means that they weren't so good. And that's been my experience doing music. And that's why I've liked doing music with Warren, because he's like, fucking hell, how'd you do that? And I'm like, oh, I could just do what I do. So lovely, so lovely. I imagine, though, does it... with my siblings, like my middle, like I'm the youngest, and my sister above me is, she's almost like the matriarch, you know, like she's the one, I might push it with her, but there's a level, because basically she's in charge. Totally. And I wondered if that was the case with you guys, because I kind of see that a little bit.
Yeah, Lauren's in charge.
Yeah.
I'd say so.
Well, yeah. Trying to be modest, but like, I'm a bit of a control freak sometimes, so, you know.
Yeah, I think it's different though, like, between when you're in the practice space and you're working and when you're out and we're just hanging out.
Yeah.
I think when we're in the practice space, it's a very level playing field. All five members of the band all have equal shits, you know, say in what's good, equal share. But when we're just hanging about, I think, you know, in our family, it's definitely Logan. Logan's the main man. Like,
yeah, but also without me, Taylor, you and Logan would never be on time for anything. We came to a gig once and Logan forgot his bass amp. And we said, Logan, where's your amp? And he said, I didn't think I'd have to bring it. Like, we're headlining. You kind of need your own amp. So,
that's
you
bass
know.
Players.
That's just bass
players. Bass players never want to bring an amp anywhere.
No, because they're...
Why is that? Why do bass players not... Bring your amp, bass players.
They never do. And drummers are like, drummers want to bring everything.
Yeah, every bit. Every little weird symbol that some guy gave him.
Drummers are always, bass players are always like, I've got to bring an amp. You're doing a gig, right?
Big time.
Yeah, for real.
You're doing a gig. So are you able to kind of lean on each other then? Because you obviously spend a lot of time together.
Yeah.
Big time. I actually think, you know, the longer the band's got on and like all that sort of stuff, I do think it's actually brought us closer too. I think we're more open with each other now, and it's a bit like, again, like the Sean McGowan thing. It's like a telepathic. You kind of just know, and you know when to push it, and you know when to leave it, and you know when you think, right, okay, I'm gonna let him just simmer. And I'll come back to him in an hour's time and see what the crack is. Would you agree, Lauren?
Yeah, and I think that goes for the guys in the band too, you know. It's just a dynamic thing. And the dynamic of the band has got a lot better, like, over the years as we've done it. Even with songwriting, because as you said, Bourne, you need to be able to be honest as well. It's not as if we're always just like, you're amazing, that part is so good, I love it, you're the best. You know, when songwriting and recording, you need to be able to say to someone, like, no, that you could definitely do better than that, or I hear where you're coming from with that idea, but, I just don't like it, or it's not my cup of tea, so... We're able to have those conversations, and we know when, you know, you're not crossing the line, you're not hurting anyone's feelings. We can all take constructive criticism, and I think that dynamic works really well.
Yeah, we're good at that.
I think it sounds like nice and strong. Do you know what I mean? Because you'll be making music forever, you hope. Do you know what I mean? And in one way or another, but as a band, you could go on to progress, right? So I think that dynamic and that trust. Because the thing is, like, have you had like some like real hard times together where like you just needed like stopped? Like, if you need, like, just completely stopped and split up? Because I must have done that several times, but...
There was definitely hard times, wasn't there? There was definitely times when we thought, you know, what are we going to do? Mm. Like, there was one particular time where, we'd kind of had a bit of a management split, and it was... Things were looking very dodgy for our future for a while. I don't think the band was ever going to, like, break up. But there was definitely times where we were like, I don't know how we're going to be able to keep it going. And it literally was just week by week, making sure we were in that practice space and making sure we were with each other.
Yeah.
And literally, am I right in what I'm saying? Like, it's like, there's like a big foggy time in my head where I can't really remember any specific details. because it was all just so chaotic.
It's mad, isn't it?
And we came out of it. You know?
I think in band stuff, like there's the social dynamics of individuals. Again, like you're sort of sat there bearing all, basically, in a room with people that you trust or not or whatever. But like, it's certainly a big deal in terms of like, if something goes wrong, if you don't address it or you don't have those conversations with people, yeah, like you can then go home and be like, they all hate me. And yeah, sit in a room like, I mean, I've had members of bands like message me and go, like Lee really had a go at me last night, and I'm not happy about it, and I don't know how to deal with it. It's like, it's all from love, man. Like it's just because, you know. But if you and you should be able to actually coach and support your friends as well, right? Like no matter how old you are or whatever. Like I've recently become friends with a really good friend. He's like for the last year, and I met him in the pub local to where I lived ages ago, and we just got on, right? Piss takey, but got on. Since then, I've spoken to him like every day in support of like, and we found out we're very close friends and we're good people, like together. I mean. And it's like that comes out of nowhere when you're just able to actually tell people, look, I'm breaking up with somebody, and their response isn't, oh, yeah, there's plenty more fish in the sea, mate. It's more like, why? Mm-hmm. And let's have a conversation, because you're actually, as a man or whatever, stereotypes being that you're just hardened and stuff. It's like, well, it's not necessarily the case at all, is it? We're all individuals. And that other men actually do actually think like other men and women understand men too and stuff. It's not all... It's very much singular, I think, and it's like, that's what I've sort of been through recently, trying to make music and then actually get some social sort of interaction as well, I guess, and support from people, right? You know, it's so important. Being friends is like the biggest thing.
I think women tend to do it so much better. I was predominantly brought up by women, really.
Yeah.
And I always found like women talk about things so much better than men do, and so it tends to roll that way. But it's funny you said about Sean, and that he would pick up like if something was wrong. And it is sometimes it's just a mood shift.
Yeah,
you know, like, there's a mood shift there, and you think, "Oh, something's going wrong. Something's not right." And being kind of bold enough to go and say, "Are you okay?"
Mm.
You know, that's a special thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, having a support system is so important, you know, and I think we are all very lucky that we are all on the same page, and we are close enough to notice when other people in the band, even just at band practice, maybe like, you know, if someone's just doesn't seem on form, to be able to kind of, you know, pick up on it is important.
It's strange, like we've been through so much together now, and we're so close, like the five of us. I think we struggle to find five people who are as close as we are. We just know each other so well now that it's like in our DNA. I don't know. I think we've came this mental journey together. We've seen things that like only we could know, because only we've lived it. I think like every band's close because you're in a band, but once you've gone through a certain number of things together, it just takes you to this level where like nothing's off limits, nothing's off guard. You've become literally a family yourselves, and we're definitely, you know, we passed that point a long time ago now.
It's like when you,
but it's such a special place.
It's like when your tour manager becomes that person that you can phone up when you're not on tour and go, I still need some help getting up in the morning. Can you help me out? Can you come to my house and bang on my front door, please?
Yeah, I've got a job now. Can you wake me up at 8:30?
Yeah. Please, or push you to bed because you've been acting like a twat the night before. You know, that's occasionally you still need that in life, right?
So how did it work, Lauren, when you were at university then? Was the band going then?
Yeah, so I graduated from my undergraduate degree in 2019, so very much like the band really like coincided with my university years.
Amazing.
But I was lucky enough to be able to just juggle it. Thankfully, my final year was probably the busiest year of the band. That was the year where we went on the month-long tour. We did the Snow Patrol tour.
We did
like a hectic festival season. And thankfully, my lectures were just really dead on and it let me have a bit of time off. And as long as I was still able to hand stuff in, I was fine. So a lot of the time I was in the van with my books and my laptop writing essays while we were on tour, which was not easy, but yeah.
It's amazing that you did it, though.
Did you go away to university?
No, so I went to university in Belfast in Northern Ireland, yeah. So I've been able to kind of juggle everything, thankfully, because I've been, like, near home the whole time, more or less. Mm. We don't live that far from Belfast, so we've been able to make it work.
Yeah, amazing.
I was miserable at university. I was really miserable. It just weren't a lot of fun. And, like, you know, you kind of build it. You know, like, you go through school, then you go through college, yeah. And you're working really hard with this idea that it's all going to pay off when you go to university. Even just down to the fact that you're going to have loads of fun.
Mm.
And it's going to be, like, crazy. Yeah. And it really wasn't.
No,
it's really boring.
Yeah, I think people build up this idea of, like, the university experience and the partying and the, you know, and I think a lot of teenagers and young people can feel kind of a bit inadequate if their experience doesn't live up to that and think, oh, what's wrong with me? Why am I not having this? And that lifestyle just didn't overly gel with me or didn't click with me. So I kind of knew that that wasn't what I was going to get out of it. And I think I probably did feel a bit of pressure, you know, to have that classic experience, but it's not for everyone. And the band was my university experience, I think. So when people were going to halls and doing Freshers Week, we were, like, you know,
in our
practice space or driving up and down the length of the country to go from show to show and staying in, like, smelly Travelodge rooms up and down the UK and getting in the van and driving through the night. And so it was a different experience. It wasn't the same that everyone has, but it worked for me.
But that experience,
I remember a day we played.
Sorry,
sorry, I'm interrupting. I was just going to say, I can remember a day we did two shows in one day, or maybe three. We played, like, an art space in Belfast.
Yeah.
And then I think we played somewhere in the afternoon, and then we played, like a local festival that night.
Yeah.
And just, like, at the end of the day, like, hardly being able to talk.
Yeah.
Because I just had no voice left.
Yeah.
And just thinking, this is what I want to do with my life.
Yeah.
And all my mates were at uni at that time, and they were ringing me, being like, I'm at this party, or I'm, you know, I'm here, I'm wherever. You know, you should be here, and I'm like, nah, I should be in the van. Like, this is where I should be. You know, I'll see you soon, but we've got to do this first. And
it's amazing,
we're still doing it.
it's such a I've been fortunate enough to have that experience, and it's like when you can't buy it, right? Yeah, you can only make songs and then get booked and play shows and that. And that experience is so unique, actually. And it is a privilege for people to come to your shows, right? It's a beautiful thing. And the fact is that you can go and get pissed with a hall of people anytime you want, really, right? I mean, that you're not missing out on anything. It's the best experience. And it makes you very rounded, actually, because you get around a lot of other people in the music industry, especially of all ages, and, like, crazy characters, like, at a venue where your sound engineers that you meet now and again, and all these people that, like, I guarantee you they will be far more fucked up than any kid who's just about to leave uni and is trying to make you look a dick. And they will drink you under the table and you will wake up in a farm naked. And it's like, that shit happens, right? And it's written about for years, but only you guys will know that exists because you've unlocked the door to it. Do you know what I mean? It's a beautiful, positive thing with creativity, in my opinion.
I left university to join a band.
Yeah.
Like, it was like my friends were like, started playing in London and playing in Camden, and I was at university bored painting pictures, and I was so jealous. Everyone was like, they're having more fun than me. This isn't right.
Yeah.
So, like, I left and joined a band.
Well, I didn't go. I just joined the band. That was it. I got a job in a record store and joined the band. That was it. Did all right.
Yeah,
it's not bad, man.
As well.
Yeah.
I tell you what I was curious about. Coming from Northern Ireland, do you think the perceptions of, you know, like your perceptions of, like, say, mental health and things, do you think it differs?
It's a really good question.
Ooh.
I do see a lot of kind of discussion online recently about kind of, not that every conversation about Northern Ireland needs to be brought round to this, but, you know, growing up in a generation that is post-conflict, that a lot of people sort of think that the culture is, like, slightly different. I personally have found that as a result of, you know, our country having a weird history and things being, you know, strange, but me and you went to a degraded school where, you know, anyone, any kid of any background could come. And that school was founded in, like, the late 90s, just around the time of the Good Friday Agreement being signed. And I feel like we've grown up in a much more kind of positive space than maybe people of previous generations from Northern Ireland. So I'm very sort of grateful for the fact that I think the conversation around things like mental health and around things like just sort of equality and things like that has been a lot more sort of progressive and a lot more sort of supportive than maybe things
have been
you know, 20 years ago. Maybe that's not, you know, exclusive to Northern Ireland. Maybe that's just how society's advanced and the conversation around mental health and things like that, thankfully, is so much more prevalent now. But I've certainly found that, yeah, things are very supportive. Like, I know that my friends, you know, we've always been very comfortable talking about things like that. Mm-hmm. And I think our school was very good in kind of supporting that and encouraging that in us as, like, an integrated school, which not all schools in Northern Ireland are, which is weird, but yeah
that's really impressive. Comes from the school.
Yeah,
because schools tend to, especially now, like my daughter's 13 and she's doing school at home, and the school are always on the phone saying, right, she's not doing this, she's not doing that, and it's like, well, it's a bit difficult at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, but there's not really that appreciation.
Big
for
time. No, I hate to hear that. I think that, yeah, some schools don't necessarily have that appreciation for what it's like, but we're a bit nerdy. We're big fans of our school. It was a really positive place, and it encouraged me very much musically as well, so I have a lot to sort of thank them for.
I'll give them a shout out. Slemish Integrated College in Ballymena.
Woohoo!
Yeah, hey. We loved our school. I think I do remember, like, teachers saying from a very young age, you know, how are you feeling, and, you know, putting a lot of emphasis on you as an individual as opposed to just being a number. It wasn't like pass these exams, it was, you know, be the best version of yourself that you can be, which is a really important thing for kids, I think, to hear. From a young age. And we certainly got that from our parents, but our school environment helped. And we were just lucky with our mates, weren't we? We had really good mates as well. Like, Lauren's mates were all lovely. My mates were headers, but they were also lovely. You know, so it was, yeah, I think we've had a very privileged, in that sense, we've had a very, very privileged upbringing, for sure.
Probably went all the way around from your question, guys. Sorry, but yeah.
Stream of consciousness.
Like, that's about confidence, isn't it? Making you feel confident in yourself. And it's funny because, like, Lauren, you said earlier that you didn't feel as confident earlier on. And, like, Taylor kind of brought that out of you.
Yeah, big time.
Which is quite an amazing thing.
It is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Lauren always had it in her, like, without a shadow of a doubt. Like, if it wasn't me, it wasn't me at all. But, you know, it just literally, someone needed to push Lauren on the stage and say, you've got this, because she always wanted, I think you always wanted to do it.
Yeah, I think a lot of it comes down to perfectionism as well. I'm the type of person that, like, unless I know I'm going to be really good at something, like, straight away, I'm like, no, it's fine, I'll not do it. So that kind of fear of not being really good at it, or, like, forgetting the words or just sounding silly, I don't know what kind of held me back, but... Yeah, I'm very much the type of person that kind of needs a bit of a nudge.
Yeah.
And I've never really been a perfectionist in anything. Like, I'm very proud of everything that I do and everything Brandy Friend does. I want it to be amazing. Like, it's my baby. It's our baby. It's our, you know, five of us. But I think because I was, like, I loved music as a kid, but I wasn't musical. Like, even learning the guitar for me was a real ordeal. Like, it does not, nothing comes naturally to me with music. It's all just hard work and just not giving up. If something was a bit scratchy, if something wasn't perfect, I was just so proud to have done it anyway.
Yeah.
I was like, have it, I'm proud, you know, I'm going to go up and sing, and there's a million other singers way, way better than me, but I'm doing it, and maybe they won't do it. You know, that's kind of always been my attitude. You know, I'm the guy who'll just
try it.
I'll just fucking have a go. And other people who are way more talented maybe won't have a go. And that's a shame.
Some friends of mine from years ago were in a collective called A Poem in Between People. A guy called Joshua Ederhan, who's now in a band called Benin City, and a guy called Musa Okwonga, who's an author and a poet. And their motto for their band always was get shit done. Yeah. And that's it, right? Yeah. Just go and do it. Just do it. Get up and do something. Yeah. And it's like, because the fact is your dynamic clearly works. Your music sounds amazing. The perfection is there. The scratchy is there. It's like, it's the same thing of like having that support and honesty about your talent as well with people is really good, man. It's like, it's solid and it's working. Do you know what I mean? It's like, you know, big up.
I tell you what's been going through my head.
Thank you very, very much.
We hope so.
Is who are your heroes?
Ooh, love that question. Do you want me to start? Do you want to think about it, Taylor? Mull it over.
Go ahead.
For me, sometimes I used to think, oh, it's a bit of a cliche. Like every girl that's in a band says the same person. But the band that really got me into kind of alternative music was Paramore. So Hayley Williams for Paramore is a definite hero of mine. My first gig was a Paramore show when I was 14. So seeing someone on stage with just so much presence and that voice was just really inspiring for me. So I always bring it back to her. She's my fave. What about you, Taylor?
I don't know. I mean, who do I look to? Like, who do I admire and love and want to be like? I'm not sure. I mean, Thierry Henry always.
Yeah, nice.
Because he's such an elegant footballer and a really nice man. Ian Wright he's so full of positivity and happiness. Musician wise, Matt Berninger from the National is what a man. All five of them, mm-hmm. Aaron Desner, all of them, Bryce, they're all just great human beings.
Did you watch the documentary? Did you watch the Mistaken by Strangers?
Yes. Yeah, Mistaken for Strangers.
Love
brilliant.
It.
Yeah,
it's fascinating, isn't it? Because like it's like the Bravo is into like death metal. Clearly really in his brother's shadow. Or feels like he's in his brother's shadow. Hmm. And then his brother's desperately, he keeps fucking it up. Like Matt's trying to pull him up the whole time, going, "No, come on, just do something."
Yeah.
You know, there was something about that dynamic as well that I kind of, not people feeling like they're overshadowed by anyone else, but that kind of loving your siblings, but also being like, "Right, okay, come on, like get a grip."
Yeah.
I loved that. I thought it was, yeah, I love that documentary. It was class.
Yeah.
I feel like you're forgetting other people though, Taylor.
Who else?
I don't know. Do you not always bring up like Oasis and stuff like that, or have you moved on from that?
No, I love Oasis so much. I'm still devastated that they're not a band anymore. That was my first gig when I was 12. My dad took me to see them. So I mean, yeah, I love Liam's passion and Noel's the genius. But I think I more gravitate towards Liam because I think he feels every part of it. Even if he is a bit of a madman.
I've got a real soft spot for Liam Gallagher. I can't help myself. You know, like I was saying before with Oasis, like I'd go and see him and I'd be annoyed that no one was making any effort. But I still find myself just going on Google Images looking at Liam Gallagher. You know, like I can't help myself.
So do I.
Like when I don't feel I just recently got a new job. And to buoy myself up for my interview, I listened to Oasis and looked at pictures of Liam Gallagher. I wore pretty green clothes and I just thought, well, you go there and you say it like you mean it.
You do, yeah.
And I'm
totally.
Yeah, I get completely lost in it. Mm. I really do. And I can
better you for that. I can go one further. Been 5 or 6 years ago, maybe now.
Uh-huh.
I went to our local Pretty Green store in Belfast every day for a month and gave the boss my CV. And basically, my CV just said, "I love Oasis." And
it worked.
And it worked. Yeah, I showed up with a parka. swaggered in.
Brilliant.
Yeah, so like 19.
I was like 19, I love Oasis.
Yeah.
And he was like, that doesn't help you sell clothes. And nah. I was like, but it does.
It was funny before we came on, we were both talking about our own kind of our own little autistic traits, and one of mine was obsessively buying and saving for pretty green jackets and coats and parkas, and I was like, I've got loads of them. It's far too many to ever wear.
Yeah, of course.
And if they fade, I get really upset about it. It's don't look black anymore.
Yeah.
And my wife gets the right number back because they're expensive.
Yeah, of course. I've got that proper issue with it. If anything gets broken immediately, I get like distraught. I'm in bits if my laptop got a scratch on it. I'm getting so much better. Like buying a t-shirt and then you pull it and it's like, fuck, I can't wear it again. Like,
no.
You know, that sort of shit. That's not very rock and roll of me, of course, but the reality is we're all geeks and we've all got like some proper serious ish going on, and I love it. But so if I tear a new book, tear the page of a new book, I'm distraught. I'm absolutely distraught. Like, absolutely.
No. Books.
they're made to be read, but
I read a lot. I like a book to be well broken in.
Yeah.
I'll break the spines on purpose.
Yeah. Dog ear the pages. Yeah, yeah. I don't do bookmarks.
I just mean like straight out of Waterstones. Do you know what I mean? Like straight out of having the book and then I tear it and I'm like, things. Fucking hell! But then it will become mine. It will. It'll be covered in scribble, basically. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. I'm all about that.
Oh, big time.
Yeah, I'm obsessive for it. Oh, I love the Oasis thing. I really do.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, we've been talking it because Warren's like 10 years younger than me, and we were talking the other day that he kind of went to like in the earlier days, he went to like Noel Gallagher's house.
Yeah. So when I was 13, I went to Nebworth. That was my first gig. It's like my mate's dad at school got tickets, and we went to I was gutted though because it was the day that The Prodigy were playing on the Friday and we went on the Saturday. So I was like, oh, fuck. But at the same time, the lineup was like the Charlatans, the Manics. Like, it was a really, really good like lineup, right? It was amazing. I love the Manics now. Incredible. I love the Charlatans now. And like, at the time, I was like, just gutted.
The Manics,
I went to that. And then a week later, my friend who lived in Angel Islington was like, if we get on a train and go to St. John's Wood, they're recording in Abbey Road. And you can knock on Liam's door and Noel Gallagher's door. I was like, all right, then. So we did. So I knocked on Noel Gallagher's door, and he sort of opened the door, but he had like just a hallway full of Adidas trainers, and went, "Nah, fuck off!" And then like closed the door. Went to Liam Gallagher's house, and Liam Gallagher knocked on the door. Sorry, I knocked on the door. Patsy Kensit opened the door, and then he sort of bowled in and was like, "All right, lads." Signed everything. I was like, "Get in!" Like, it was amazing.
I was I was a massive fan of the Verve, so. Like there was a big crossover. My heroes were the Verve.
Oh,
really.
I love the Verve.
Like Richard Ashcroft and more so Nick McCoe. So I was always like I didn't when everyone was really loving when Nebworth was happening. Everyone was really excited about them.
Yeah.
I was like, they've not got the depth of the Verve. The Verve got so much more depth.
Lots more depth.
And I remember like I was a chef working in the kitchen, and everyone was like, everyone's trying to get tickets for Nebworth. Yeah. And I'm like, I ain't going to fucking Nebworth, man. Verve ain't playing, I ain't going.
It was such a good gig, man. That was such a good gig. I was always a punk kid, do you know what I mean? But like, but for that to start, that'd be the first gig.
Oh,
you know what I mean? It was unreal. They're doing a master plan at Nebworth. It's
another
what a tune, do you know what I mean?
Nebworth and Main Road, though, those are the two. Like, if I could go back in time, Main Road, do you have a picture of Liam when he's standing in the stadium that he stood in the stands as a kid? Yeah. And then he's there, he's headlining his team's ground. I had that, like, that picture burned into my mind from when I was about 13.
Yeah, it's stimulus enough, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
My friend John's a photographer, and he did the photos for Bittersweet Symphony.
God.
So that blows me away that he's my mate.
He
worked with Brian Cannon, who did the covers for Oasis and the Verve. He did all their artwork. He was their art director.
Wow.
And he worked for him. And Microdot. Yeah. Brian Cannon. He had a loft in Shoreditch when Shoreditch wasn't cool and it was cheap. And he remembers going around there and just seeing piles and piles and piles of Adidas trainers.
Yeah.
Just absolutely loads of Adidas trainers everywhere that basically, Liam and Noel were like, they just didn't want them anymore. So they went, just send them to Brian. My mate went there and he was like, do you want some trainers?
Yeah,
he was like, "Nah, I don't know, Adidas."
You'd have had them just because they were Adidas, right?
And the trainers.
Yeah, man.
I would have been like that. I'd have been sniffing the shoes and all. Yeah. Weird.
You know what though? I went to an Ashcroft gig at the Electric Ballroom, and Liam Gallagher showed up. It became a bit more of a famous gig because. Ashcroft forgot the lyrics to one of his songs, and Liam came on stage and reminded him of the lyrics and clapped along so he could get the rhythm right.
Aww, and, that's so nice.
And when Liam came into the building, it was like a bomb had gone off. It was like the energy suddenly just went through the roof.
Mm.
It's like this man that just walked in the building, and this was after their heyday. You know, this is when Ashcroft had gone solo. But still, it was like he was like this massive magnet had walked into the room, and everyone was just like, "Oh!" And I went downstairs. I went downstairs and stood by the bar.
Yeah, of course you did.
I was like, "Oh, I might try and talk to him."
Yeah, yeah.
And I couldn't help myself. I just became this massive fanboy.
Mm. But it's that energy.
He's one of those people, like, you talk about people in a dream world you'd love to meet. He's one of those people that he's such a hero to me that if I ever met him, I don't know if I'd be able to speak to him. I almost don't want to because imagine you met a Beatle. Like, imagine you saw Paul McCartney. Why would I just turn into jelly? But Liam is even above that for me because of what he meant to me and what he still means to me, because he's the embodiment of passion and love and just, you know, a kid from a council estate with nothing who just wanted it. He wanted it all. And that will just never not resonate with me. All these stories are just blowing my mind.
But that's it. It's like that positive energy.
Yeah,
I've got
loads of stories about it. I was like a teenager. Yeah, I was like gigging and I was well in the Britpop at the time.
Nice.
Yeah, I've met quite a few of them.
Yeah, it's the way. It's that energy though, isn't it? You know, that creative energy. It's just, it is amazing, man. You got to remember, like, not everybody does music. They don't do shit. You know what I mean? It's like that. That energy is so unique, and it's so good as well. Like, it's such a positive thing. Like, I get so hyped about it now. Like,
grinding the chair.
Yeah. So I am getting so excited. But like, since we started making tunes and stuff, it's just like it's another reason to hang out and get really nerdy about like reamping laptop shit into a guitar amp and the new Helix thing that he just bought and like, all sorts
of
stuff.
Yeah, I've just bought loads of pedals.
Yeah,
it's my birthday yesterday. So I kind of went a bit.
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday!
Thank you.
And John, our secret. I forgot to text him happy birthday yesterday.
Oh,
I'm shit, right? I am a shit person.
That's rule 101.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
Mick McCabe, the guitar player from The Verve.
He texted, didn't he?
Texted me.
Ooh,
which made me so happy.
Yeah, and I forgot.
Oh my gosh, that's cool.
And one of Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds messaged me.
Yeah, all right, show off.
Well, our drummer would probably freak out if he heard that, because our drummer Luke is a massive Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds fan. He's obsessed with Nick Cave. He'd be jail if he heard that. But yeah, when it comes to like tech and gear and pedals and stuff, Aaron, he'd love to be a part of this discussion, our lead guitarist, because he's the one who's into all that in our band. He produces our demos, so he knows everything about the gear, the tech side of things that we're kind of clueless about. His pedal board's like that size.
Aaron is he's the genius of the band. You know, Aaron's two favourite bands are Radiohead and Wilco.
Yeah, nice. Brilliant. Yeah.
That tells you, you know, our next album's going to sound very different, and a large part of it is going to be Aaron, who used to play bass, actually, before Logan joined the band. So on the first album, Aaron plays bass, and now he plays lead guitar.
Got promotion.
And he got a promotion.
Guitar, okay, for two extra guitars, pay. Then.
Yeah, wicked.
That's interesting. Moving forward, isn't it?
Two guitars.
This is it.
Becoming a bit more complicated.
Working the Radiohead dream. This is it.
I love
Radiohead. Yeah, yeah.
Big time.
Yeah, me too.
It's getting bigger now, for sure.
I did meet Nick Cave one time as well.
Oh, nice. Oh, mate.
Cool. He seems like he'd be kind of scary.
Yeah,
no, he was.
Yeah.
I went to Pieces and went, all right. I'm called Nick as well.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And that's pretty much it. That was it. That was the end of the conversation.
That's a pretty cool story, though.
Yeah, and in those days, we didn't have mobile phones, so I couldn't get a picture.
Oh, shit. Damn. Should you not take a massive camera with you? Should have, man.
No, but my friend did take a camera, and he did take pictures, and we did get told off.
Did you? Oh, yeah. Shit.
It was a real tiny gig. It was pretty amazing.
Huh. Yeah, he scares the shit out of me. I'm a fan of him, but he does scare me, man.
Yeah, he's one of my heroes.
Terrifying, man.
Well,
we are at an hour and 10 minutes, guys.
Right, well.
So, no, it's been really lovely having you on. You guys have got like some lovely energy going on. I'm all about that at the moment. It's a beautiful thing. When you get touring again, we'll be there for real. That'll be it. Can't wait to see you play. Bit next level, like.
Awesome.
Oh, no, you guys have made me feel really happy.
Yeah, exactly that. You got a lovely thing going on.
Cool. You really have. You've given me this kind of really nice, warm feeling. You made me want to kind of reconnect my family.
There you go. That's a
rock and roll.
That's a rock and roll dream.
This is it, man. Sick. It's been a pleasure talking to you guys.
Oh, thank you,
thank
guys.
You so much, everyone.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.